Well, our special guest is Gordon Eads. ESPN.com covered the Red Sox, but way before that, I knew Gordon when he was with the LA Times, then the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel, which is now just the Sun Sentinel, and the Globe. So this man has been around baseball for a long time. Gordon, welcome, and just kind of give us a rundown on where we think the Red Sox are going this year.
Well, first of all, Bill, thanks for the intro, and clearly I have trouble holding a job. You know, you list all the places I've worked. You know, I had a chance this morning to talk to Mike Morrison, who grew up in Lauderdale, and I said to him, hey, look, did you grow up reading me, right?
He was too young.
Yeah. He said, because he was a huge Marlins fan. He used to hang out in the parking lot and grab autographs of guys like Charles Johnson and Preston Wilson and Cliff Floyd. So he said, man, if you were working there, I must have read you. So, I can't believe now this is going to be my 19th season with the Red Sox now. I left Florida after 96. Nice timing. You guys win the World Series the next year. Although the Boston Globe did allow me to cover that series. But, you know, the Red Sox are in this really weird cycle, Bill. You know, worst to first to worst again. They have designs on springing back into contention. You know, they made some big moves in the offseason, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. Got arguably the two best free agent hitters that were out there on the market in Pablo Sandoval and a guy that you know very well, Hanley Ramirez. Ramirez involved in a pretty interesting transition here. He's going to play the outfield for the first time in his career. And I don't know if you've seen him. He looks massive compared to
NFL linebacker.
No kidding. And he almost dwarfs Ortiz, which is saying something. And, you know, so far it's been going pretty well in camp. You know, he showed up early to work with the Red Sox outfield coach, Arnie Baylor. The big question with this club at this stage is probably the starting rotation. You know, they lose Johnny Lester in the offseason, signs with the Chicago Cubs. You know, Theo Epstein stealing one of his old boys that he had in Boston. Personally, I think they did a nice job of adding a lot of veteran depth to the rotation. It started with the trade last July when they traded John Lackey to the Cardinals for Joe Kelly. Then they traded Yoenis Cespedes to Detroit for Rick Porcello, and then signed a couple of guys. Oh, no, actually made a trade for Wade Miley from Arizona, signed Justin Masterson, who had been here, actually broke in with the Red Sox. And the holdover is Clay Buchholz. And Buchholz, you'll like this story, Bill. He came in the clubhouse with T-shirts yesterday that he handed out to each of the starting pitchers. It says, he's the ace on the front, and then has the player's name on the back, except there's one T-shirt. Those are all blue T-shirts. Then the guy who's pitching that day, he's got a gray T-shirt that says, I'm the ace. Wow. So they're having some fun with this. You know, I mean, it's gotten a little tiresome for them to hear that theme over and over again. This team doesn't have an ace. And really, there's been a lot of talk about a move that could impact your division. You know, Cole Hamels, the Phillies left-hander, is a guy the Red Sox clearly have interest in. And to date, the price has been too high. You know, the Phillies want a terrific catching prospect the Red Sox have in Blake Swihart. Mookie Betts is another guy. But, you know, this team looks like it's built, on paper anyway, it looks like it's built to get back into contention.
This time of year, everybody's feeling positive anywhere you are, but certainly the Red Sox, who have made all those moves, have really done something. I'm interested in pitching depth. I can name pretty well five guys that are going to be in a rotation, whether it's Boston, Arizona, the Marlins, the Dodgers. But depth, really important, because last year the Giants and the Royals only used 8 starting pitchers. Yeah, the Marlins used 13, right. And I know the Red Sox used a bundle.
Yeah, and the thing is, Bill, I think a team goes into the season knowing they're going to – five guys aren't going to get it done, usually. You're talking – generally, eight is probably on the low side. You're talking 10 to 15. You got to go 10 to 15 deep these days. And that's where the Red Sox, they have some interesting young arms. They've got a right-hander, Matt Barnes, who came out throwing 95 in their first exhibition game against the Minnesota Twins. Probably won't have that kind of velocity as a starter, but he's a former top draft pick, a lefty named Henry Owens, a guy they got from the Orioles that is very highly regarded in the Andrew Miller trade is another lefty named Eduardo Rodriguez, who they're very high on. Brandon Workman, who's been up and down with the Sox. But again, those are all young guys. And generally, a team likes to have a guy who's gotten some mileage on him on that AAA level. And I don't really see that guy in the Red Sox system right now. An intriguing guy I should mention, and I'm reminded of it because I saw Tim Wakefield in your clubhouse today. The Red Sox have a 30-year-old knuckleballer, Stephen Wright. Shoot, 30 years old, man. You know, we had Charlie Huff in Miami, and I'll never forget. It's one of my all-time favorite stories. I come in, was one of the first days in camp that the Marlins are taking physicals, right? Charlie's sitting in front of his locker smoking a cigarette, right? I said, Charlie, how'd the physical go? And he says, oh, the doctor said I'm in great shape for a guy of 50.
Well, what was he at that point? 45? 46.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Gordon Needs is our guest here. And Gordon, I think people will be interested. The American League East, which has been probably the dominant division, but I don't think it probably is right now. And it'll be interesting. Could be four teams, maybe five in the race all year long.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, Bill, coming into the season, maybe the team with the most questions, the team that's dominated baseball for years, and that's the New York Yankees. They've got huge questions in their rotation with Tanaka and Sabathia. The back end of the rotation, I mean, they've got guys like Eovaldi and Capuano. They've got the whole Alex Rodriguez thing to deal with. Didi Gregorius stepping in for Jeter. There's some age in that lineup. You know, they need bounce back years from Teixeira. You know, McCann was, I would say, rated as a disappointment last year offensively. So, looking at the division coming into the season, I think the Yankees maybe a notch or two behind some of the other teams. The team that interests me in the division, I love what Buck Showalter has done with Baltimore, but they took a couple of big hits this offseason, particularly losing Nelson Cruz. Toronto intrigues me. Toronto picking up Josh Donaldson in the trade with Oakland, picking up Russell Martin. You put those guys in a lineup with Bautista and Encarnacion. They've got some terrific young arms, a kid named Marcus Stroman and another kid named Sanchez. You put them in the rotation with Dickey and Burley. You know, that team looks to me on paper as Reyes, the former Marlin, you know, if he's healthy and can give you 140 games, that team on paper looks to me pretty intriguing.
Gordon Needs guesting with us here. You cover more national now than you have been working with ESPN.com. And do you have any big thoughts over who really helped themselves in the offseason team-wise?
Well, you know, I think, and how often does this happen, Bill? You look at what Billy Beane did with Oakland. I mean, here's a team that was, 10 games ahead at the All-Star break last year. They have a bad second half. They're knocked out in the first round. He had made the big deal for Lester with the Red Sox at July. Had some Marcia. Now both of those guys are gone. He traded Donaldson. I mean, he's redone that whole, Michael Morse was with on the other side of the bay with the Giants. But, I mean, he's redone that whole team. And you wonder, the mad scientist again. Is it going to pay off? I think people love what's going on in Miami right now. I think certainly Washington is the odds-on favorite in baseball right now, adding Scherzer to a rotation that was already as strong as it was. But I think there are a lot of people that are intrigued by your young outfield is so good. You know, Jose Fernandez coming back, presumably healthy and all. You'd like to see Miami maybe make some noise in that division, particularly where, you know, Atlanta and Philadelphia have kind of made some step backwards to give Miami the chance to be in the middle of this thing.
You mentioned earlier Nathan Eovaldi, who's gone to the Yankees, and that was a big trade for us. One of the parts of that is David Phelps, who can be a swing man. I mean, he could give you depth in the starting rotation, and just your reaction to him watching him against the Red Sox.
Yeah, you know, I don't know a whole heck of a lot about him, Bill, other than the fact that, you know, the versatility. We were just talking about how you need that depth in the rotation and all of that. I mean, he's a valuable piece on a good team. You know, he can be a difference maker on a contending team. So, and he certainly pitched with no fear in Fenway, which is always a good sign.
One final comment, and you know, we're not used to the crowds in spring training like the Red Sox get, or the Yankees and some others. But with Ichiro Suzuki, things have really turned around in Jupiter, and he's really a rock star.
Oh, I'm sure, and I imagine there isn't any Japanese media in Miami now. You know, we went through that with Matsuzaka when he came over, and was I mean, it's really, from a media perspective, it's really interesting to watch a whole media corps that's assigned to cover one guy. You know, somebody can throw a no-no, and the Japanese reporters have got to go over and ask Ichiro what his reaction is to it. But you know, it's a little bit too bad that Marlins fans are catching Ichiro at the very end of his career. I mean, to me, the guy is a no-brainer, Hall of Famer. I mean, you have to factor in what he did in Japan, and for me, he's an absolute Hall of Famer. But you know, as a guy who covered the Marlins from the get-go, and remembering those years, the first year and half of the second until the strike, you know, 3 million fans coming through the turnstiles. I would love to see those days return in South Florida. I haven't given up on the possibility that South Florida could be a good baseball market. So go out and support your team, would you?
Gordon Needs, our guest, and as always, thanks for the visit.
Thank you, Bill.